Let's pray. God, we thank you that we're here this morning. Teach us. Teach us your ways. Teach us what you want us to learn. In your name I pray. Amen. So Common Ground, the student ministries at Elam, went to the Philippines, and we started partnering with the ministry about 5 years ago, and it stemmed from some ladies from our church were leading retreats, missionary wives retreats, they over in the Philippines, and they had met one of the gals that started Threads of Hope, and they're like, Brian, you're going to want to talk to these guys, and so I met with them, and it was like this was a perfect partnership that we could do. And Threads of Hope provides an income for over 1,000 individuals in an impoverished area in the Philippines, and the whole goal is for them to take desperation out of the equation. And what that means is when they're not able to make ends meet, and the way that they make ends meet is by making bracelets, selling trinkets on the beach, and if there's not enough tourists or if they don't sell enough to make money, desperation becomes part of the equation. And when you're desperate, you do desperate things. And so sometimes the family gets split up and mom goes to the Middle East and becomes a nanny, or dad goes to Manila and tries to find a job with the 20 other million people. I'm not joking, 20 million other people looking for a job. And so they're trying to figure out how to do it. Sometimes kids start getting sold into things that they don't want to be sold into. And families aren't doing that because they're bad parents. It's just they don't know how to make ends meet. So Threads of Hope comes in, and Threads of Hope said, hey, we can help. And the ministry was born a long time ago, and it has since planted a church, started a secondary school where there was no secondary school, where the kids would have to actually leave their families to go to find education. Third, they started a birth clinic in that community. They also provide scholarships for kids that graduate high school so that they can go to college. And it's just an unbelievable ministry. And so it's been really fun for me to partner and be able to see, hey, this is what's going on. And one of the reasons that we go is because we sell bracelets in the States, and that's kind of the ministry where Threads of Hope will buy bracelets and other threaded items. We'll bring them back to the States and we'll sell them at just different fairs, festivals, or other events. And so we've sold at Creation the last 5 years. And so we were like, hey, we need to go because we need our students to see why we sell bracelets, why we go to Creation every year. It's not just to see concerts. It's because we want to help these people out. And so the first year we went, we stayed at this resort, and it was nice. We would go to the ministry center every day, and we met bracelet makers, and it was a great time. Well, this time we're like, okay, we're going to change it up a little bit. And we stayed in Nipa Huts, which is a native housing, and we were lucky. We had electricity sometimes, most of the time. It went out a couple of nights, and we had each room had a couple fans, and talking to the students, they're like, yeah, when the electricity went out and all of a sudden the sweat started, I was like, wow, this is what they live with every day. You know, and it was eye-opening. And so just staying at the ministry center and was just an awesome, awesome thing for us. And so what we've done is we've compiled a video for you guys that will show some of the fun things we did. You know, when you're with teenagers, you have to have some fun, but also some of the work that we did, working with Threads of Hope in the school, working with Threads of Hope, just counting bracelets. We actually gave one of the main workers at Threads of Hope a week vacation, and we did her job, and it took seven of us to do her job that she does every week. And so we just did lots of different things for the school, for the church, the after-school programs and stuff. So you'll see that in the video. So enjoy. There's some context issues that I just want to clear up too. With when you watch a video and you try and condense, you know, hours and hours and hours of video, sometimes you lose sight of some of the context. So when we went on that hike, it was insane. Like, you're pouring down sweat, and so the reward for going on that hike, and we were able to see a couple of bracelet makers' houses, and Elfie, the one that you guys saw cutting. He was an orphan that learned how to sew in a factory, and he's actually getting married in April. But in the Philippines, you have to pay for your wedding, and you have to pay for everyone who comes. And it's not just who you invite, it's whoever decides to show up. And so he's saving up money to do his wedding. And it was crazy to meet him and hear his story and see how he's caring for his mother-in-law, his fiance, soon-to-be wife, and his daughter, and just how he met the Lord, and now he's trying to serve the Lord and honor the Lord. And that's one of those houses that we got to just sit and listen to him talk about his love for God and just hear his story. It was really fun. And so after that hike, we went to that waterfall, and it was really fun to watch just our students and our guides who were actually in middle school, who walk that every day, you know, watch us and help us across the river. So it was really fun. And Rich and Marla, it was nice because they were able to be with us for most of the trip. Rich and Marla used to attend Elam. He was an elder. He used to teach in Ording, and God gave him and Marla just this desire to serve in mission somewhere, and God brought them to the Philippines, and he was able to start doing ministry by playing basketball and doing outreaches by playing basketball, because in the Philippines, they love basketball a lot. And so they were able to have basketball games and share the Lord with them during with the Filipinos during halftime. And that's where he started. 20 years later, now he's the area director for East Asia. And so God is using him to influence church planters, influence other leaders throughout the Philippines and other Asian countries. And it's just, I mean, think of that for a second. Here you have a teacher from Ording. Like Ording. What's in Ording? At least, especially 20 years ago. That was supposed to be funny. And God's using him throughout Asia as a leader. The people, Alex and Chris Kula, who started Threads of Hope, they were house parents at Faith, which is a missionary school in Manila. And this ministry was born out of them being on vacation and getting to know some of the locals. And now Threads of Hope, Chris and Alex, through just them saying, hey, we can help, we can do something, said, hey, let's buy bracelets. And now it's providing income for over 1,000 individuals. And it just made me think of Acts 1. So turn with me to Acts 1. And just context, you know, Jesus comes. He lives 33 years. He dies, doesn't stay dead, rises again. About 40 days later, he's with his disciples. And that's where we pick up the story in Acts 1. So his disciples had no clue what was to come. In fact, when you read the story, they like their idea and what was going to happen was totally different. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew he was about to go to heaven. He knew that this was one of the last times on earth. Well, this was the last time on earth he would be with his disciples. Acts 1:6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? So Jesus dies, rises again. He's with his disciples. His disciples are like, all right, is it time for us now to have this kingdom that we thought we were going to get? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And it's just, it's crazy to me to think that these guys walked with Jesus, they were taught by Jesus, and they still didn't know what was coming. I mean, he talked about how he was going to go to the Father, and he was going to send the Spirit. Like, he spent lots of time teaching, and they still just had no clue. None whatsoever that they were going to change history. These fishermen, these common everyday people, were going to change history. And we know what happened. Jesus ascends into heaven. the disciples go back into Jerusalem and they wait, and about 10 days later, the Spirit of God comes on them and just crazy things happen. And you have that first experience where those that were waiting for Jesus, the disciples, they start all, they're talking and they're using languages they didn't know. And all the people in the market and that were around were like, okay, I hear my own native language. So a big, huge gathering happens. Peter preaches, they hear it in their own language, and 3,000 get saved. And it's the same Spirit of God that lived in Peter is the same Spirit of God that lives in us. And he's called us to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And for us, there's a, like, I don't know what that necessarily means. It's equivalent geographically to us being witnesses in Puyallup, Tacoma, Seattle, and the ends of the earth. Now, the world's gotten a little smaller, and it could be, you know, Puyallup, Washington, the U.S., the ends of the earth. Like, however we want to interpret it, the sole reason that Jesus left the disciples on this earth were to be his witnesses. The sole purpose that we have on this earth is to be his witnesses. Now, we may do other things for God, but every single one of us are here to be Christ's witnesses wherever we're at. It's our job. It's what we're left here to do. I love what a couple of the students just picked up on when we were talking in the Philippines. The quote that I heard when I was in high school, that Christianity has been lived at such a subnormal level that when you see normal Christianity, it's viewed as abnormal. Christianity has been lived out at such a subnormal level that when you see normal Christianity, it's viewed as abnormal. See, when we look at what the disciples did, we're like, oh, that's crazy. That's what we're called to. And the disciples didn't do it in a militaristic way. They didn't do it, you know, by, you know, yelling at people. And what did they do? They lived their life. They relationally shared Jesus with everyone and anyone they were around. Now, did it cost them something? Yes, it did. Some of them went to jail. And then they were told not to do it. Well, they kept doing it because that's what their job was to be, a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. See, we have to see that normal Christianity means that we are Christ's witnesses. That we're taking what we know and we're passing it on. I mean, think about this. We would not be here today if the disciples were like, he's gone. Huh. Oh, we're done. Like, we wouldn't be here. We're here today because the disciples listened to Jesus, waited for the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God came on them, he used them in a crazy way to where now we are here, and we are here because of the influence of someone else. Because they were Christ's witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And that's what our role is. I mean, it's crazy to me that, you know, when I look throughout my life and just what I feel, and what I've seen as I've talked to students, as I've lived as a Christian most of my life, that what holds us back from being Christ's witness is I'm afraid of what people will think of me. Well, what if I don't have the answers? And yet, it's our job. Like he said, Christ's last words is, "You will be my witnesses," to the disciples. We are Christ's disciples. We are here to be his witnesses. Like, it's what we're here for. And I loved what Beth shared, that I think sometimes our wealth hinders us from seeing our need from God. And I love what Micah shared and Christian shared, just about how a lot of times in life I don't even think about my need for God because I just have so much and I don't know that I need him. And I think that's one of the crazy things about when we step out of ourselves and we go into another country, another culture, and we have just a glimpse of their culture and their country, and I realize that. But I can still learn from it, and I can still see it's different. And their faith, they have to trust the Lord because they don't know where anything's going to come from. They don't know when their paycheck's going to be. Are we going to be Christ's witnesses? And I think it just comes back to what is the legacy we want to leave? What do we want to leave this earth with? You know, we talk a lot here about Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas. You know, Paul being that person that you allow to speak into your life. You know, Paul to Timothy. Timothy to who? You know, Timothy is that person that you speak into. And then who's Timothy then speaking into? And we see those relationships. Jesus to Paul. Paul to Timothy. Timothy to, you know, and we talk about Barnabas, that alongside or that person that comes along us and pushes us towards Christ, that pushes us towards the ways of God and helps us to see that, hey, our reason for being here is to be on mission, and that's to be witnesses. So together we're going to be witnesses and we're going to go for it in a loving, relational way, pointing others to Jesus. And a lot of it's what's that legacy? Think about it. Like who could be here on Sunday because you've stepped out of yourself and said, I'm going to love you to Jesus. Who's going to be in heaven because you stepped out of yourself and said, it's not about me, it's about me being a witness. So that others can know about the love and grace of God. Elam exists to be an oasis for renewal with God and one another. And that means we want everyone to understand the relationship they were created to have with God and with each other. And as an oasis, we want to nurture passionate followers of Jesus. Every disciple has to be a passionate follower of Jesus because we need to be passionate about what we love. And we need to be passionate about following Jesus and being his witnesses. So the question is, you to who? From you to who? From you to who? While I was in the Philippines, God was just teaching me a lot. And I was sitting there and I'm thinking about, you know, Rich being a teacher at Ording to now just helping train all these workers and just how these churches are being planted, and Rich has direct impact on those churches being planted because he's mentoring and coaching these church planters and these other leaders. And I was thinking about Alex and the fact that he was just a dorm parent. I mean, just like he took care of teenagers for school, like a dorm parent. And now there's a church of over 800 in this province where there wasn't a church. They planted this church. People are getting saved. Elfie's one of them. Elfie's now trying to live for Jesus. So, you know, from Jesus to Alex to Pastor Al, who was already a believer, but he brought Pastor Al in. Pastor Al now to Elfie. Like who to who? You to whom? And I was thinking about Elam. You know, think of when Tamina and I first got to Elam, we were one of the only young couples in Elam. In fact, when Elise was born, she was kind of a mascot because she was one of the few babies that we would have. And now we have at Elam over 74 kids, fifth grade and under, that come, that are on our rosters. On average, we have, I believe, 47 first through fifth graders here. Like when you think of a generation, when they talk about a generation is usually looked at as a 20-year period. Elam's been around since 1884, so we've been around for 133 years as a church. And what's exciting to me is we're around for another generation. We have these young kids that are here. And we're around for another generation. And I'm super excited about the fact that we're taking what God has given and entrusted us in Elam and saying, hey, we want to nurture people. We want to raise people up. And people are coming. And we have another generation. The thing about churches, though, is in one generation, a church can die. Because the church forgets that it's about how do we pass on what we have, not how do we keep what we have. And so there are churches in America today that are withering and dying because they're trying to hold on to what they had. And that church will no longer exist in that community. And I'm super excited that Elam's around, at least for another 20 years. But the question is, will it be around for another 20 more after that? And it's on us. It's on us to realize that we are God's witnesses in Puyallup, Tacoma, Seattle, and to the ends of the earth. We need to be Paul's to those that are younger in the faith. We need to call people to ourselves that, hey, I may be an introvert, I may be an extrovert, I may need only one, or I may need 30. We need to call people to ourselves, run with a friend, and be his witnesses, and pass on what we have, knowing that this church will only stay in existence if we take what we know and we pass it on, because that's what we're here for. And I'm super excited about where we are as a church, and I'm excited about where we're going. And my prayer is that we take serious this Paul, Timothy, and Barnabas thing, that we take seriously being Christ's witnesses. We pass on what we know. Father, thank you for how you just work in my heart and how you challenge me. God, I just pray that you would be with us as a church, that if there's any selfishness in us, Lord, that you would root it out. It starts in me. Lord, in any ways where we are blinded by our own security and what we can do, Lord, convict us of that. Father, may we walk by faith, not by sight. May we trust you and not what we think we can accomplish. And may we be your witnesses, South Hill and beyond. In your name I pray. Amen.